And welcome, everybody, to episode 644 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. My other trusty cohort, Breakman the Bold, is on assignment this week, meaning he drank too much and he's puking his guts out. He should be back next week, but Eric and I are here to guide you through this episode. So, Eric, how was your week, man?
It was all right.
Yeah. Halfway decent, treating you okay?
Yeah, you don't have to wear a mask at work anymore.
Yeah, they've lifted a lot of the mask mandates here too, which I think is kind of an error. Maybe we'll talk about that later in free for all. We're not going to have.
I mean, there's still some businesses requiring a mask, but
yeah, we're not going
to
have.
But when it comes to my work, it's not that big of a problem, I guess.
Yeah, well, especially if you're vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, I don't think you have to worry too much. If you're not, wear that fucking mask. You know, I mean, come on. No harmy this week. Yeah, Freak 5, no harmy this week. Breakman's just a little under the weather, so he's not going to be making it in. He texted me probably about 4 in the morning, you know, saying that he wasn't feeling well at all, so he wasn't going to be able to do the show. So we'll do our best to hold the fort and wish Breakman well wishes on Twitter, at RP Grinders, if you guys get a chance. Hopefully he'll feel better and back next week. Lots of cover on the show today. We're not going to have a tournament this month. It's going to be all, you know, just a variety of topics. Today, we're going to have an interesting topic. Maybe we'll get to another topic or two, maybe including mask and, you know, what the deal is going forward with COVID and stuff like that. But without further ado, Eric, why don't you lead us into the news?
Okay, from RPG site, you've got Meta RPG Adventure Terrorbane, announced for Nintendo Switch and PC. Publisher Crunching Koalas and developer Bit9 Studio. Anyways, it's a Meta RPG Adventure where the game developer tries to make a classic style JRPG while squashing bugs.
It looks cool, man. Like, I saw the trailer before we got on the air, and it does look like a traditional RPG with some meta elements. It looks cool. I wouldn't mind giving this a go. It looks pretty dope, as the kids say. So, you know, it looks like it was made maybe with RPG Maker, or, you know, a weird engine like that. But, you know, I kind of like it. I like those.
It's probably Game Maker.
Yeah. It may be Game Maker, you're right, Eric, but it looks cool. It looks, you know, like I said, little meta, you know, some, looks like some computer elements going on, some glitching and, you know, a purposeful glitching and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I like the concept. I might give this a go. It's on the Switch, so there you go. Anything else on this, Eric?
Not really.
Okay, let me get my links in order here. Gee, what's going on here, man? You know, right before we got on the air, can you hear me, Eric? Jesus
yeah.
Christ. Okay. We had some technical issues, and I don't know what the hell was going on, man. My router was all whack, but it looks like we're back up and running. Okay. Turn-based RPG Absolute Tactics announced for PC, set to release in 2022. So this comes to us from RPGsite.net. Publisher Acapura Games and developer Curious Fate announced the aforementioned Absolute Tactics. So it's a tactical RPG. And there's a really nifty trailer. It's got a really cool art style. I know you guys can't see it on the archives, but, you know, check out the trailer. It looks cool, especially if you're into tactical RPGs. It's kind of got a little bit different look, art style-wise. But it looks cool. Some of the features, content-rich, 25 narrative story maps plus 11 optional maps. Challenge yourself, 3 levels of difficulty. Genre bending gameplay, shaking up the SRPG experience with diverse gameplay, including large scale war levels with dozens of units on the battlefield simultaneously. Environmental vertically, puzzle elements and traps. So that's kind of a new twist to the tactical deal there. Deeply
you remember the tactics are absolute.
Yeah. Deeply customizable, and you grow your own character. Let's see. Freak says in chat, thoughts and prayers, break, man. We all know when Frank says kids, he is referring to Sam. How dare you, Freak 5? And how dare you, Wyland, laugh at that comment? How dare you guys?
So old by Frank Sanders means that you're a literal fossil.
How dare you, Eric? You're just piling on. What's wrong with you guys today? All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got, from RPG site, another Warhammer 40k game. Chaos Gate Daemon Hunters, announced for PC, set to release in 2022. Publisher Frontier Foundry and developer Complex Games. Forge your champions, plan your strategy, enter the 41st millennium. Oh, so so it's no longer 40K. It's 40.
It's 41K. And next it'll be 401K. You know, they'll just go down that route. All right. What else you got here? Is that pretty much it? Another Warhammer game? Okay. Let's move on. And there's not much in the trailer. There was just a little teaser trailer, so we don't know too much about it at the moment. All right. Next comes to us from RPGsite.net. Conglomerate 451 Overloaded, available today for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And there was a little trailer. It's like a cyberpunk type game. Some of the features, manage your resources, which, you know, this is a dungeon crawler, by the way, for those listening. It looks kind of cool. It's got, you know, kind of a neo-noir-ish cyberpunk kind of look to it. Therefore, the cyberpunk a moniker there. Manage your resources, more than just body mods. You can upgrade weapon and armor proficiencies, augment your body with interchangeable cyber implants that completely change your agent's skills and utility. Pain and trauma system. I think this is the most important thing. When I was watching this video, Eric, this was the most kind of in-depth thing that they have here that's different. Even the smallest wounds can have a lasting impact. By taking damage in combat, agents risk generating permanent traumas that will follow them between missions. I did see some, like, I think on, it was on this...
That sounds interesting until you realize it actually becomes annoying.
Yeah, it could be annoying, but if it's one of those things where you kind of got to keep an eye on it, Eric, and it's not overwhelming your character, I think it might be a cool thing. Story.
It's definitely got that what was the name of that first person RPG that came out? Grimlock, Legend of Grimlock.
Yeah.
But it's exactly.
Sci-fi. Yeah. If you die in the game, each mission could be your last thanks to Agent Permadeath. Oh, so it's one of those. Oh, boy. Freak 5 says, can you lose limbs? It doesn't say whether or not, but I'm sure that might be one of the...
But it's cyberpunk, so you could probably just replace it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have trauma related to that injury still.
Yeah, you know what? I was watching the video, Eric, and that was something interesting. There's like emotional... like stress type things, like you could get PTSD and stuff like that. The only thing is they kind of risk being too close to real life with this type of stuff, you know? So then, I mean, it does become chore-ish. If done correctly, this could be really good. I'm interested to see how this turns out, Eric, because, you know, if it's just one of these things where it's not a super annoying thing, like where you do kind of got to get I hope it's not like, what was that game where you had to like always like feed yourself just like in real life and it was like super annoying? Do you remember what I'm talking about, Eric? There was like a game like
that. There's tons of games like that, though.
Yeah, but that's, I'd see, like that type of stuff makes me like, you know, but if it's one of these things where like if you have, you know, recurring PTSD every once in a while of certain events occur, I don't have a problem with it. But if it, you know, if it has... if it's constant, then that wouldn't be really cool. Wyland says, kind of want to play Syndicate Plus now. Why is that? okay, Eric, next story.
Next story is Wizardry, the Five Ordeals, coming to PC, leaving at early access... Not this month, And English support is forthcoming, so it'll be on, available to be played by Western audiences soon.
Yeah. This is a really highly thought of wizardry game, Eric. I remember hearing, maybe I think we might have had a story back in the day, like way back in the day, about this game. Maybe like somebody trying to bring it over.
I don't know. The game originally released in 2006, which is 3 years before that you even did the show.
No, there was some talk of like doing a remake over here or something. I remember when it comes to wizardry, I'm kind of a fan of wizardry, especially the non-traditional wizardry game that was on the PS2.
There are several wizardry remakes.
But there was one in particular. It was a non-traditional wizardry game on the PS2 called Tales of the Forsaken Land, which I hold in very high regard. That's in easily a top 25 game for me. But I remember hearing something about this one, because this game was actually big in Japan, and it's one of the most critically acclaimed wizardry games. Syndicate Plus is on GOG. There you go, Wylan. There you go. All right, next story comes to us from... It'd be nice to see this wizardry game over here, for sure. Final Fantasy VII Remake version 1.02 adds the ability to transfer save data to PlayStation 5 version. That's actually really good, and that should have been implemented from the get-go. I don't understand why.
Well, because they didn't think they'd be doing a PS5 version right away.
Really?
So,
really?
No, I mean, Square likes to port games, but at the same time, why would you spend money on something far out in advance?
I don't know. It's called having foresight, maybe, Eric? I don't know. I mean, it was just blatantly obvious. They're bringing it to PS5.
Well, like, why put a feature on there to upload your save to the cloud when the game's far from being released?
Well, I guess. But, like, they knew about the PS5 long before anybody else knew about it. I mean, Square Enix is one of the biggest publishers in the world and developers.
Yeah, but I don't think they had kits at that time.
Really? You don't think they had kits like years ago, Eric? I call BS on that, man. I think they knew.
They were also working on other projects too. So
yeah, maybe they just were too busy with other shit. But I'm glad that they did this, because this makes me want to play Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 5. Like, it really does. So there you go. Now, if you have a PS4, you can transfer it over to PS5. So,
plus, like, why would you do an update like that so early when you've got to fix the other issues that might exist in the game?
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's not a big thing to like plan for the future, especially something this small, Eric. It's not that big of a leap. Like, they knew the PlayStation 5 was coming, and
but Sony probably put like a stranglehold on them.
That's true too.
Sony was very tight-lipped about the PS5 up until like several months before its release.
Yeah, no, that may be too. Sony might have had a big hand in a lot of that. Not a big deal. Okay, well, this is good though. It's good that people can transfer to the PlayStation 5, especially since they're going to start getting a supply soon. Jesus Christ, man. Okay, Eric, next story.
Oh yeah, speaking of which, that game comes out next week, and you cannot preload the DLC because the DLC by itself is not available on the store yet.
Okay.
Which is weird. Yeah. But whatever.
All right, Eric, what do we got next?
We've got DBZ Kakarot, the final, well, supposedly the final DLC. Trunks the Warrior of Hope launches on June 11th.
Why do you say supposedly? Do you think there's going to be more DLC, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, because, like, look at how long they kept putting out content for Xenoverse and Fighters. They're still doing stuff for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This might not be the last. That makes me wonder, like, are they ever going to have, like, Ultimate Editions?
No, they're going to do a Bardock one next. Just you wait.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, anything else on this, Eric?
Nah.
All right. Next story comes to us from also RPGside.net. Former Shin Megami Tensei staff members will reveal Monarch on June 10th. A mysterious teaser site for a new Japanese school-themed RPG titled Monarch has shown up.
Monarch, not Monarch.
Monarch, like, what? Okay. Well, I don't know what the difference is.
They probably don't want to confuse people into thinking it's the other kind of monarch.
Well,
so it makes more sense that way.
It's spelled with a K, so I mean, I don't know. All right. Full reveal is set to happen June 10th. Four easiest names only needed one letter to fill, and all of them point to staff members who used to work on the Megami Tensei franchise in Atlas. Kazunari Suzuki, the writer of Digital Devil Story, Megami Tensei, and Shin Megami Tensei. Ryotaro Ito, the writer who first worked on Megami Tensei 2. Tsukasa Masuko, the composer of titles from Megami Tensei to Devil Summoner Soul Hackers. Aya Nishitani, the novelist who wrote titles from Digital Devil Story Megami Tensei to Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner. I think that's an underrated game, Eric, Shin Megami Tensei Devil Summoner. In addition to...
I think it's talking about the actual original Devil Summoner, not what we got.
Oh, okay. In addition to the staff list, the site also contained riddles of the game's Japanese voice cast list. So far, we could decipher that it will include Gakuto Kajiwara, Madoka Asahina, Shigeru Chiba, Honoka Kuroki, Satomi Akisaka, Katori Kawai, Yuki Sakahira, I probably butchered that, Sakakihira, Taito Ban, Wataru Hatanu,
Sakakihara.
Sasakihara, yeah.
Sasaki, Sakaki.
Sakaki, well, okay. Bukaki, Sakaki, you know, it's all the same thing. All right.
No, it's not really.
Wataru Hatanu, Suzuko Mimori, Ayasa Ito. See, like right now, Breakman's like really happy he missed out on this because this would have definitely been his story.
Is he really sick then?
I think that's what happened. He saw this story and he was like, I'm going to call in sick on this one. I'm not going to go through this. Shinichiro Kamio. Shinichiro Miki, Ryusei Nakao, and Atsushi Tamaru.
It's Ryusei.
Ryusei. Which one did I mess up? Ryusei. Okay, there we go. So there you go. And then there's a number in Japan that you can call. It'll produce a recording of screams following a cryptic message. That's actually kind of a cool idea. I wish people would get back to viral things like that, like calling a telephone number and getting mysterious messages and stuff like that. So there you go. That sounds like super interesting. And, you know, those guys work their tails off on those Shin Megami Tensei games. So this will probably
be very high quality. They probably want to make more of the original SMT games because even though SMT proper is still very much SMT, it is closer to the gap between it and Persona nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Wyland says, if Break were here, the show would be an hour longer just because of this. Probably, Wyland. That's very astute. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
Let's see. We've got... Driftlands is leaving early access, and it's got the date set for June 4th, so that happened yesterday. Or not yesterday, today. I kept thinking it's the 5th, but no, because that's when Mighty Goose comes out, which Saturday's a weird day to release a game. But anyways, Clay Entertainment has announced that it's roguelike deck builder. Driftlands is exited early access. And it's the last game they'll probably ever get to make properly because Blizzard owns them now. And they'll probably have them working on their own stuff.
Lost me at deck building, but whatever.
Anyways, battle challenging bosses, build a team, or buy one. Because of mercenaries and stuff. But Master Hunter's cards, decisions matter. Welcome to Havaria, which is the name of the place. That you're in, and a broken down sci-fi world, playing politics for keeps, and so there's factions and overwit or overpower, so you can punch your way or diplomatically your way through the game.
Yeah. It looks interesting other than the deck building nonsense. Freak Five says Brake's probably listening and is going to join the show right after that story that we just did. That would be funny, Eric. Like, Brake Man's like, oh, I feel so much better now, and calls in.
Frank's deck building racist.
I am. I'm not into deck building games. I just think that's, I don't know, it's not interesting to me at all. Like, you know, it's just not my bag, but more power to people that that dig them, you know. That's
like
cool.
RPGs have RNG in them, and deck building is basically RNG, but you can manipulate it to an extent.
Yeah, I know, Eric, I know, but it just, the deck building thing is just, I mean, I just to me it's like too much micromanaging. I know RPGs, that's all RPGs are, but I can handle like the traditional.
It's not as complex as you think it is. Like, you're thinking about it too much.
No, I've tried, man, and there's too much strategy involved for me, man. Like when it becomes like a strategy game, but then deck building.
Yeah, I get the whole choice paralysis thing, but
yeah, know. Yeah. For me, it's that exactly, Eric. It's just I can't. You know, it's like it's just too much for me, man. Like, you know, more power to people that like them. I know. Brake is not too into them, but Eric is you know, Eric's okay
but
with
like
them.
When you
okay.
start playing an RPG and you have like 50 bajillion skills at your disposal, how's that any different?
It's just different because it's not, you're not like building a deck for those skills. You know what I'm saying? It eliminates that step, Eric. You just go to the skills and you just try the skills. I know it's not super different, but it's just another step I don't want to take in my game. So anything else on that, Eric?
Not really.
All right. Last story of the day comes to us from RPGsite.net. Again, you know, I wished RPG Site would like do their ads differently because it causes havoc with their links. Mm-hmm. Mecha Strategy RPG. Speaking of strategy RPGs, Relayer launches for PlayStation 5 and 4 in 2021. Katakawa Games has just what I said, a mecha strategy RPG developed by creators of God Wars Future Pass for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. We've talked about God Wars Future Pass before. Clouded Leopard Entertainment will handle the global release, which will come out simultaneously in 2021.
So this is interesting to me because Clouded Leopard Entertainment is doing the Switch ports to several Kiseki games. Mm. So I'm wondering if they're going to be localized at some point.
Wow. Well, it says subtitles in not only Japanese and English, but also French, Italian, German, Spanish, Korean, and traditional Chinese. The title Relayer actually refers to the first extraterrestrial humanoid alien group encountered by mankind in the game's universe. The group, however, would later decide to invade Earth, but people in the Earth aren't exactly united either. The Earth Alliance government army has a different method of protecting the planet than the protagonist GT Labo faction, causing unavoidable friction between the two. One of the Earth's military industrial companies is even rumored to be aiding the alien group. So there's talks a little bit about the gameplay system, so there'll be jobs and, you know, stuff like that. I don't know. It looks interesting. Let's take a look at the trailer while I look at chat here. If Frank wanted to build a deck, he would be standing in a Home Depot parking lot. That's exactly right, Freak Five. If I wanted to build decks, that's how I would build a deck. What do you think of this game, Eric? Are you interested in this game?
Yeah, a little bit. Because yeah. I liked. I never got to finish God Wars, but I liked what I played of it.
Yeah. I mean, it looks okay. I mean, it's a you know, tactical strategy RPG, you know, kind of. But with mechs, and, I mean, if you're into mechs, I mean, the only mech game I ever kind of got into was, like, the Xeno Saga games. You know, those were about the extent of my, you know.
Those have mechs in them. They're not about the mechs.
Yeah. They're not like this. Like these type of, like, the Gundam type stuff, I never really got into, but, you know, I know there's a huge audience for that, and this game does look kind of cool, so maybe Eric will give us a review when the time comes. But there you go, there's a look at Relayer. All right, that is it for the news, thankfully. Sorry, I'm a little parched. I need to get some water or something here real soon. Homie discounts, we still got that PlayStation Plus deal, but the interesting thing, Eric, I think they're running out of their CD keys, their keys for...
They're just running out of places to get them for cheap.
Yeah, they are, and they went up. It's still a heck of a deal. It's not $60, but now it went up to $39.79, which is still $20 off. So that's Deck Simulator 2021. No, Eric, no.
No, we're talking about actual decks.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be cool. I would be down for that. Actually, Bernie's more into the sim games, so that'd be more up her alley. Like, she likes the farming games and the sim games and the roller coaster tycoon.
Yeah,
games,
you know what,
stuff,
Frank?
Like that.
You know what simulator game you need to play?
What's that?
Densha to Go.
Oh, why? Why is that?
It's all about trains.
Oh God, Eric! What? Why do you want to destroy me like that, Eric? Like, why?
They're passenger trains, though. They aren't ship like cargo trains.
Well, they're still Look, even the passenger trains. Come on, man. I mean, bullet trains. If we had bullet trains, I'd be okay with those. But we got these slow ass fucking trains. Like, how inefficient is that? Like, I know.
Yeah,
but
the thing is, the Japanese railroad system is better constructed than the U.S. one.
I know, but why don't we do it? Like we can start. Like, we talk about like infrastructure and like stuff like that. Like, why can't we start building fucking bullet trains to go from, New York to L.A. in 3 hours?
I mean, there's still some land trains in Japan, but I don't think they're as awful as they are in the U.S. because they aren't frequently being used.
Yeah, how about not being used ever? Oh, I finally got some water. There we go. Okay, I don't know. Trains, that's another topic we should... Maybe we'll have time to talk about that today. But before we do that, Eric, Inquire Minds want to know.
Inquiring Minds want to know.
What have you been playing, Eric?
Well, what I meant is they aren't being used to ship cargo, which means that there's tons of carts that you have to wait out on. It's like usually the train will pass and only a couple seconds will happen before the train's gone.
Yeah. Okay. What you been playing, Eric?
I've been playing more Pokemon Ultra Sun and Resident Evil Village. I played over the weekend to beat that. I'm on my third playthrough now, just trying to accumulate money. I might just do my knife only run next, though.
Ooh, nice, Eric.
And if anybody wants to watch me do my attempt tomorrow, they can.
I might do that, Eric. Give me a text before you do that. I might do that.
I need to get through this playthrough first, though.
Yeah, okay.
So it might not even be till Sunday. So.
Okay, no worries. What else? Anything else?
I also got to get my oil changed, too, so there's that to consider. Yeah. But
that shouldn't be that long, though.
Well, not if you go to Walmart. It might take long. Because of COVID, they don't open in the morning anymore. Like, they do it at noon. That's when the place gets busy.
Yeah. And you have to be there right away at Walmart. Just go somewhere else, dude. Jesus.
Well, there's the convenience of going through the quickie one, but that costs like $70.
Ooh, that's for an oil change?
Yeah.
Damn, dude, they have specials at like Grease Monkey and stuff like that. I don't know if they have...
Like the Valvoline Express is what I'm talking about. It's like they'll charge $70, but it'll get done really quick, and they'll probably give you the right oil change you need.
They'll probably give you the right one.
No, I mean like, well... They probably will because they probably know what they're doing is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Anything
not
else?
Saying that I don't trust the people at Walmart. I just trust them more.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's $70.
That's just too much, man. Like here, yeah. They have specials for like $30, $40 sometimes. Like you just have to find the right place, I guess. Do they have?
And then I have to make an appointment for some place like Nassif. So
do they have like a Grease Monkey over there, Eric?
No.
Oh. Yeah, see, here we have Grease Monkeys, like $30-$40, depending, but whatever. All right, what else you been playing, Eric?
I started up Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster last week, and I'm still getting through that.
You have it on the Switch, Eric?
I got the Switch code for review.
Okay,
I'm probably going to buy the card at some point, but when it gets marked down, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
I have the PS4 version, and I'm playing through that, because I want Trophy Hunting, I guess.
Yeah.
It's slightly faster, because from what I could tell, the initial load times are longer on the Switch, but not by much, just enough to be noticeable.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like 5 seconds versus the 2.5 I'm experiencing on my PS5
yeah.
with the PS4 version.
Yeah.
But the load times other than that, it's probably because it's front-loading the entire game. That's why it takes so long.
Yeah, yeah. Any noticeable differences from the original, Eric? Because this is, if people don't know...
The visuals are better looking, but they're still dated because it's PS2 graphics.
Right, right.
But the voice acting is omnipresent for all the story content.
Okay, all right.
And there are a couple quality of life improvements. Like, I think you have the full 12 demon summoning slots available to you from the start.
Okay.
And you can actually manually select what skills you want to inherit for when you do demon fusion.
It's every bit as hard as it was back in the day, though, right?
Like but what is weird is that you could play on Merciful, but Merciful is a DLC for some reason. I don't know why they included it in the base game for this release.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I don't notice too much different.
Okay, all right. Wyland says he's been playing...
Which is kind of a shame, because they could have done more with this remaster.
Yeah. Wyland says
he's... maybe updating the GUI for the map, like screen.
Yeah.
Or, like, some form of fast travel, or just easier menu access, so that you don't have to... you can hot swap demons that you summon to the party instead of having to remove them and then add the new one in, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah. Wyland says he's been playing some XCOM Enemy Within. That's an excellent game from what I hear, Wyland. I used to have that game. Like, it was a PlayStation Plus, and I had to change accounts, so I lost access to that game. But Freak Fight says he's been playing Bless Unleashed still. Is that a... I know I probably asked you this last week, Freak 5, but is Bless Unleashed a VR game? Or am I way off the mark? Games is hard, Wyland says. Yeah. Shin Megami Tensei, to get back to that, Nocturne, is as close to a horror RPG as I've ever seen. Like, maybe Bloodborne. Bloodborne's another great kind of horror RPG, but there still hasn't been that itch hasn't been scratched for me yet. A traditional turn-based RPG that incorporates like actual horror elements. You know, there's nothing like that yet. There was another Shin Megami Tensei game. It's not VR. Freak 5 says, okay, what is that? You talk about that game quite a bit, Freak 5. I'm curious. But yeah, so Nocturne's. I played it back in the day on the PS2, and it used to...
Like, Bless Unleashed is an MMO. We told you this last week.
MMO, okay.
Free to play.
I gotcha. The Shin Megami Tensei games are kind of in that vein, but not quite what I want, ultimately. I don't know. All right, let's move on to...
RP Grinders Reviews.
All right, Eric, what you got? Oh, you're doing your reviews next week, right? Because you want break here. I'll do my review.
Well, even closer to what you want is you should probably play Sweet Home for the NES.
Yeah,
or Sweet Home. Famicom. I mean.
Sweet Home is a good example. That's a good pick, Eric. Yeah, you're right. But I want something modern, but like, you know, still traditional turn-based. I don't know. Maybe updated graphics. I was kind of hoping that they would have done something with along the lines of Yakuza, like how they retooled it to be a turn-based, but like Resident Evil, like a Resident Evil version, turn-based version. I think that would, like...
Yeah, I wonder if someone could pitch the idea to the Ryogakudo team to make to reboot Yakuza Dead Souls as what you're saying.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. You know, maybe. Yeah, you know, I don't know. All right,
because where they fail is they wanted to make a first person shoot a third person shooting zombie shooting game.
Yeah, no,
I mean, they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah, turn based, you know, horror RPG would be, you know, that'd be perfect, man. I mean, that would be, you know, I really want to see something like that. All right, I'm gonna do a review of The Conjuring 3, aka Conjuring Devil Made Me Do It. I'm not going to do any spoilers. It came out on HBO.
Did the devil make you do it?
Yeah, the devil made me do it. It's based on a book, again, from the Lorraine and Ed Warren Chronicles, files, as they say, of another demon possession, you know, devil possession type movie. I would put this... akin to, like, I'm glad they took a little different tack to this. Like the book, Bernie was explaining to me because she read the book. The book was called The Devil in Connecticut, and you can't find that book anywhere, which is a shame because she's been looking for that book. She loves the book, and the book was about the possession of a little boy, and then supposedly like. The boy's sister's boyfriend, the demon transferred from the boy to the boyfriend, and he ended up basically, this is a real life kind of thing, he killed someone and he got put in jail for manslaughter, but his defense was unusual. It was a, you know, not guilty by reason of demon possession type thing, and it was like one of the first cases in the United States to, if not the first case, to use that defense, and they ended up lowering the charges to manslaughter and whatnot, and he served, I mean,
like, technically you could rework and reinterpret demon possession as mental instability, but...
Yeah, you know. Well, they're, okay, that's a good point, Eric. Like, back in the day, like, you know, 14th, 15th, 16th century, you know, people were, you know, branded as, like, you know, possessed by the devil or demons because they had mental illness, whether it was schizophrenia or even, you know, physical ailments like epilepsy and stuff like that. But, you know, it was a good try at a defense. But, I mean, because the defense basically was like, you know, you're sworn in under God. And if you believe in God, then you believe in the devil. And, you know, why can't you use that as a defense? I mean, the jury didn't end up buying it, but they lowered the charges from, like, capital murder to, like, manslaughter, and he served 5 years. But it was the first case where, you know, but in this movie, they kind of veered to a different path. They didn't focus on the kid like the book did. They focused on the boyfriend. And it's a good movie. It's a good Hollywood scare fest type movie. It was a little darker than the previous two entries. I don't think it was quite as good as the second entry. I like Conjuring 2 the best out of the three. But I quite like the third one. Like, if you like good atmosphere and, you know, a decently paced story, and you like big action horror type Hollywood movies, then you're going to love this one. You know, I mean, there's not much more I could say. Like, there's enough scares to keep you interested. You know, so if you like those type of things, you're going to like Conjuring 3, Devil Made Me Do It. And I give it a solid 7.5 out of 10. I think I gave part 2 a 9 out of 10 because I thought it was really good and scary. There are enough scares in this movie. It just didn't quite meet the high bar of 2, you know, and it's just, it's not a shame. It's just, it's a good movie on its own right. But after hearing what Bernie said about the actual book and how it was more focused on the kid as opposed to the boyfriend, you know, I mean, you can't fault Hollywood for doing it because it's, to me, this was, if they would have did it based on the boy, then it would have been too much like 1 and 2. And, you know, then you get that kind of feeling like they're retreading stuff. So they did something a little different. And I kind of like it. Freak Five says, we're having Famous Dave's for dinner tonight. Thanks for making me hungry, Freak Five.
What's Famous Dave's?
It's a barbecue place, and it's really good. It's a big chain here. I don't know if they have them in Ohio. But...
Now, there's Raising Cane's in Ohio. But I don't know if it's quite the same thing because it's mostly chicken.
Yeah, no, it's not. I like Raising Cane's, by the way. They have those. They just opened a couple of those here in Denver. I need
that or a Popeye's because we got KFC here for chicken.
I like KFC. I like all the chicken places, man. I mean... We
KFC
have
KFC and Chick-fil-A, which fuck Chick-fil-A.
I don't go to Chick-fil-A for obvious reasons, you know, but like I make my own. I can make just as good, you know, Chick-fil-A chicken as they can.
Anybody can. A lot of other places, chicken's better than theirs at this point.
Wyland says we just got a Raising Cane's here. Wait, Raising Cane's surprised me. We had another.
Like the closest Raising Cane's here is in Manfield.
Yeah. We have another chain here called Slim Chickens, which is really good, but not as good as Raising Cane's. Like, for some reason, Raising Cane's, like, really surprised me.
And I think there's a Church's in Rock Creek or Youngstown.
I like Church's chicken, too, man. I'm a big chicken fan. Like, that's probably my favorite type of meat is chicken. So, but Raising Cane's is really good. I like Raising Cane's quite a bit. A little expensive, but, you know. I mean, if you have a chicken itch, then that definitely scratches it. Okay, so you're going to forego your review till next week because Breakman probably will have plenty to say. But yeah, 7.5 out of 10 for Conjuring 3. If you got, I mean, it's out now on HBO Max, or you can go to the theater and watch it. But you know, it's a good reason to get HBO Max right now. I mean, there's plenty of good stuff on HBO Max. All the DC stuff, and you know, they got a Lovecraft Country, which I'm looking forward to watching. So, you know, there you go. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Eric, I didn't see anything on your Stinko of the Week. Did you have anything before I get into my quick one? Yeah. I mean, I guess I could go into, you know, the whole Trump thinks he's going to be reinstated in August thing, which is ridiculous. Like, anybody is just that thinks that is just delusional. And he's still trying to overturn the election, which is wow. Wyland says, we already know your stinko. Yeah, it's the Kickstarter thing, right, Wyland? The combat compendium thing, yeah. Mine is... I mean, not only that, like Trump just hanging on to he won the election bullshit nonsense. But today was like now I know summer is here, Eric. It's 90 degrees. And I don't know if there's humidity in the air or whatever. But since we're higher altitude, like each degree matters here in Denver, man. Like if you're here and the sun is out and there's no cloud cover, you're baking in the sun because you're closer to the sun than obviously anything lower than 5,280 feet. There's a reason why it's called the Mile High City, and not because we have legalized weed, which is just funny. But no, it's we're definitely higher elevation here, and you can tell with the sun. We have more hours of daylight than San Diego. And, you know, sometimes that's to our detriment because the sun just beats down on you, like, really, really bad. Wyland says, this was one of the things in their top-tier backing, and there were only 5 of them. So that does that mean that you're not getting it at all?
I think it's too early to know right now.
Okay, because that's just really... That's really cool. He's showing us a picture. I'm going to put it up on the stream here. It's, I think, what is that, Cyrax? Wyland? It's really cool. It's a little statuette type thing. That would be perfect for your collection, Wyland. Wyland has a bunch of really cool figures and statues and stuff like that. I had my first asthma attack in years last Saturday. That sucked, Freak Five. That's definitely a stinko, man. You all right, man? I guess you are all right. You wouldn't be here, but, you know. the dispute just happened. Yeah, Wyland. So, yeah, that sucks, man. hopefully it'll get resolved, man. I you know, and then if it gets resolved, you, I mean, did you get your money back already? Because if you got your money back already, that means that that deal's pretty much done, you know. So, but yeah, that's really cool, man. That's a cool little statue that you would have got, man. That blows. I hope they get it resolved, Wyland, because I know you're always excited with the Mortal Kombat stuff, and you know. But yeah, the hot weather, man. Like, hot weather here is different than almost anywhere. Like, I was talking to Bernie. Bernie came from the ultimate hot weather place, Phoenix, and she said that like 90 here is equivalent to like 100 over there or 105. She's like, it feels almost the same. You know, there's a little difference, but she says it feels quite hot here. Puts you on steroids. Yeah, you need steroids anyways, Freak Five. You know, you need to build up those muscles. They don't take money until the end. Oh, that's good, Wyland. I mean, it's not one of those like
this Kickstarter is still going on.
Yeah, well, that's good, Wyland. That's really good. All right. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a difference in altitude here with weather and stuff. And, you know, there you go. All right, let's move on to happier things.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
You have a sweeto, Eric?
I guess. But it was kind of expected, but the response I got for finally coming out as non-Barrett and binary on Facebook, even though I did that on Twitter years ago, but I hadn't done it on Facebook because I have a family member there and I didn't want to explain to them. But so I wrote it in such a way as that they wouldn't bother me if they had questions. Had questions, they could do research.
Yeah, yeah. Wyland says, and because of the dispute, it's on pause, so if it resumes, they'll add on the missing time. Well, that's good, Wyland. I mean, I hope it works out, man. I hope you know, they get that all worked out and everything's good to go. My sweeto is a couple. I mean, HBO Max is a sweeto for me, man. Like, I'm thinking of getting rid of Netflix in favor of HBO Max because they have the movie premieres. They have plenty of movies and series that are interesting. And, you know, it a lot of DC stuff that I want to get into, you know. I don't know. I think HBO Max is a good deal for what they got, you know, and they usually come out with really, really good movies. Also, I wish Breakman was here because I talked to him a little bit about sports, but the Denver Nuggets won their first round series, so that was good. I was not expecting them to beat Portland in six games, but they did. I thought it was going to go the full seven games in basketball, but you know, they did really well and they won, so I'm really happy. Also, the Avalanche are kicking ass and they got a third game tonight, so hopefully they can take care of business tonight and then on to the Stanley Cup. Freak Five says, a sweeto, 12 years ago today the adoption of my daughter was finalized. Congrats, man. You know, that's really cool, Freak Five. Wyland says, I hope it works out too, only because the team working on it has spent 6 years trying to get it made. Yeah, Wyland, that's interesting because, like, why wait until you get the Kickstarter going before you do a dispute? Why not send somebody something before saying, hey, if you put it on Kickstarter, we're going to dispute it? You know, I mean, that's just kind of shitty, shitty nonsense, you know? So yeah, you know, all it seems like all the sports teams here are doing good except for the Rockies, and I don't know.
They'll work out a deal where WB makes a cut, but I wonder how big of a cut they're going to make.
Oh, WB will want it, all of it, man. They're fucking ruthless, man. All right, any other sweetos, Eric?
No, not really.
All right, let's move on to... It's a free-for-all! Freak Five says, another sweeto. His stomach is full of delicious brisket and ribs. How dare you, Freak Five? Well, last night I had Texas Roadhouse, so eat that, Freak Five. Wyland says, I thought it was odd too. They had to wait for KS to okay it before it went live. Yeah, that's...
So somebody at WWE probably didn't know.
Yeah, that's just nonsense, man. That's, I don't know. That sucks. All right, Free For All. We're not doing tournament this month. We're kind of taking a break from the tourneys, but we'll get back to that next month. But Eric brought up a bunch of cool topics to talk about, and you know, we might talk about more than one today. This might be a short show, Eric, but one of the first things that I thought was kind of cool that you brought up, Eric, is NFTs. And I knew what NFTs were in name, and I knew it was kind of tied into cryptocurrencies and blockchains and stuff like that, but I didn't quite understand what NFTs were. So I did a little bit of homework, and I thought the idea was kind of stupid at first. But I'll explain why I'm actually okay with NFTs in a minute. But
I'm not, because I don't trust people to do it well.
I agree. And there are some things to talk about. But basically, NFTs are an acronym, right? Non-fungible token. And mostly this was thought of as like kind of a fine art thing. Like if you were an artist, this was a good way for you to, you know, like create art and then sell your original digital copies on a blockchain. So if you sold, like, let's say you were, I don't know, let's say you were an artist. Let's say you were like, let's say you had the Mona Lisa, right? And if the Mona Lisa was modern and it just came out, and you wanted to memorialize it in a digital form, but you wanted one original digital piece of history, then the way to do it is to create an NFT on a blockchain that is almost impenetrable. Like blockchains.
Yeah, but the problem with blockchains is they're destructive to the environment.
Okay, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because I know a little bit about this too, Eric. Blockchains depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about Bitcoin or Ethereum, which Ethereum's the big one for NFTs, right? Then you would be correct, Eric. But Ethereum is working on being environmentally friendly. They're coming out with Ethereum 2.0, which basically cuts down the usage of electricity, therefore being better. It's a long process, but basically way less electricity to mine for Ethereum, you know, coins and NFTs and whatever, blockchain, right? The blockchain, there's a lot of energy use in blockchain. I agree with you, Eric, but there's other projects out there. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about cryptocurrencies a few weeks back, but I mentioned one in particular called Cardano. Cardano takes Ethereum 2.0 and basically supercharges that to like way less energy usage and more security and a bunch of different things that I don't want to get into here. But basically it's getting better is what I'm telling you, Eric. It used to be, I was with you, man. I was skeptical of a lot of cryptocurrencies and blockchains. And the amount of, especially Bitcoin. If you're talking about destroying the environment, Bitcoin is super destructive. Ethereum,
and Dogecoin.
Dogecoin is actually very, very not at all destructive to the environment. You'd be surprised, mm-hmm. Eric. Dogecoin is one.
I don't think Dogecoin's going to take off, though. So
I don't know if it's going to take off. I used to own some Dogecoin, and I sold it because I made quite a bit of money. I mean, later that money was eventually scammed away from me. I explained that a few weeks back. But
that's what you get for investing in a meme.
Well, no, I made $11,000 off of that meme, Eric. So, you know, I sold it right at the right time and all that good fun stuff. But whatever, you know, that's neither here nor there. I still own a tiny bit of Dogecoin, like a tiny bit. But basically, NFTs, if you can think of it, it's like projecting your assets, right? Like speculative trading. So if you have a trading card, for instance, this is the best analogy I can make in the real world. Trading cards are always speculative, right? You never know which players are going to be good or bad or whatever. So you know, you try to collect the ones that you think are going to, you know, be more valuable as time goes on, right? It's the whole Honus Wagner thing. There's a baseball card that's out there that's like the unicorn of baseball cards that everybody wants, that's super expensive. It's the Honus Wagner, right? If you got a really good Honus Wagner, it's worth $1 million or more. I don't know what the price is now. It's probably like $2-3 million, whatever. But that's the whole point of NFTs. If you're an artist, it's great, especially with the energy usage kind of going down on blockchains. Like I mentioned, the they're mostly on the Ethereum blockchain, right, which is not very energy efficient at the moment. But they're soon to release Ethereum 2.0, which I'm still skeptical about, Eric. I don't think it's quite, you know, to the point where we can say it's energy efficient even on the 2.0 blockchain of Ethereum. But there are other projects out there that are trying to solve that. Like I mentioned, Cardano. I invested quite a bit of money in Cardano just because of that, because of the ethics of what they're doing and, you know, the real-world problems that Cardano is trying to solve. And, you know, I did my homework on it, Eric. I'm not, you know, before I didn't, and I just threw my money in, and I wasn't, you know, really thinking, even though I was making money and all this. But now I'm a little more conscious of those things. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is NFTs are, if you can think of it in trading card terms, you're basically prospecting, right? You're hoping that these NFTs are worth more money in the future. These are original and only you own that particular digital print on a blockchain, right? But there are inherent problems with it. Like, for instance, Logan Paul, I don't know if you know who Logan Paul is, Eric. He's a real popular YouTuber. He sold...
I know who he is.
Okay.
Not great.
Yeah, he's not a great person. I'm not a big fan of Logan Paul. And that's what I'm trying to say. Like, he sold an NFT for, I think it was like $20,000 of one of his Pokemon, right? He bought a super expensive Pokemon. And there's a special like
the Pokemon trading cards, right?
Yeah, the Pokemon trading cards. I think the card is worth well over $1 million. All right.
And then there's that whole situation where everybody was acting like a shithead,
right?
With those cards,
right?
And scalping,
right? So the only problem with that is who's to say that he doesn't create another, you know, exact digital replica of that and sell that one for $20,000. Then, you know, is it really worth $20,000 at that point? Like, it's not, you know, that's the shady thing about it. Like, can you reproduce things and you know, sell them for the same amount of money, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, I'm going to show on the screen now. There's a, this is an NFT. This is an example of an NFT. It's a Gucci ghost, right? And to me, this is one of the stupidest things I think I've ever seen. I don't know if you're looking at it, Eric.
Gucci, but like the handbag?
Yeah, maker. The handbag thing, all right? So they created this little, I don't know if it's a GIF or if it's an actual digital picture or whatever, but there's an NFT, and at first it sold for $3,600, right? It's worth, I think, now about 13,000 or 16,000, so it went up in value for whatever reason. Oh, 16,300 is what the value is. So if you think of it in terms of like trading cards, it works, right? You're on a blockchain, you own a specific NFT that's unique, then it works. You know, they're like, for artists, I can see the practicality of it, but for people in general, like if you're hoping that you're going to sell your trading cards for millions of dollars in 10, 20 years, then, you know, you're pretty delusional. I mean, you might, you know, sell a card for, you know, if you're just a collector, it's one thing. Like, I used to collect video games, right? And some of my video games, we mentioned one earlier, Nocturne at one point was selling for like $200. I think it got
a whole. That's another free for all topic we can discuss, the ridiculousness of game, or not just games, but like old 80s toy memorabilia, etc.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, we could transition into that because I think I've covered NFTs, Eric. What are your thoughts, Eric? I know you're real skeptical. I was skeptical of it at first, but I think with things getting more energy efficient, I don't think it's a big deal. You know, right now it is a big deal because the blockchain, especially Bitcoin and Ethereum, the energy usage on both of those, like to mine Ethereum is crazy expensive. Same thing with Bitcoin. Like there are people that spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars like mining Bitcoin because Bitcoin, each Bitcoin right now is, I think it's up to like 30, 40,000 or something. So if you can mine those coins, you know, via your computer setups, you can make a lot of money. But the problem is, you're using a lot of energy, which of course is not good for the environment. So there's got to be solutions, and they're starting to, like I mentioned, Ethereum 2.0 is coming out, and that's going to be way more energy efficient, but that's not going to be nearly as efficient as Cardano, and Polkadot's another one that's working on real world energy solutions and stuff like that. So, I mean, the skepticism that I'm hearing from you, Eric, is warranted. You know, there's no question. It the cost of energy is way too big in cryptocurrency as it stands right now. But there are people working to make that a lot better. You know, it's like what cars are doing with energy efficient cars. Like I think we've evolved to the point where even companies like Ford are trying out new things. Like this summer, they're going to introduce an all-electric truck, which for an American company is weird. I know Chevy did the Chevy Volt, but as soon as Trump got into power, they shut down their Chevy Volt plant. So it's like two steps forward to take one step back. You know, it's really weird. But so I don't know. I think it's getting better, Eric. But
gas prices are increasing too.
Yeah, and it's crazy. We've got to find real world solution to these type of things. You know, like we can't rely on fossil fuels forever. Like there's only a finite amount of oil in the ground. You know, we can't continue to rely on that stuff. So it's stuff like this that we need to find solutions for. Dungeon's in chat. Welcome, Dungeon. You snuck in like a ninja as usual. He says, energy efficient burgers for everyone. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's come down to, especially ones that heal you. Exactly.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Eric?
I was going to think, yeah, like cows that aren't mistreated and stuff. So maybe like the Impossible Burgers or the lab grown burgers.
I love Impossible Meat, man. Like, it tastes good to me. I think I figured it out, though. Like, it's not the burger itself that causes my stomach problems, because I mentioned on the show before that I have a lot of issues eating hamburger.
It's the methane produced by the beef.
Well, it's not only that. It's the consistency, because even Impossible Meat kind of tears my stomach up a little bit. Not quite as bad as, like, real hamburgers, but you know, it still messes me up. Dungeon says soy burgers are pretty tasty. So is Impossible Meat, man. Like, Impossible Meat is made of like it's a pea base, real peas. Like, they use that as the base for their burgers, and it comes out real good, man. Like, it, I mean, it's really weird. Like, if you cook Impossible Meat on a grill or like on a frying pan or something, it like, you know, quote unquote bleeds like real meat. Like, you'll see like red juices flowing from it and stuff like that. It's really weird. Like, I can't explain it. It tastes good though. I mean, it
pea
tastes
juice. Yay.
Yeah, I know. It's just really weird. Freak Five is exiled. He says Frank remembers when those fossil fuels were dinosaurs. How dare you? Dungeon says Burger King's Impossible Burger is pretty
impossible
good.
Impossible Whoppers only at this point.
Yeah, Dungeon, I agree. I had those Impossible Burgers there at Burger King, and they're slightly drier than real meat, but pretty much, I mean, it's pretty much
that's
the same thing.
That's what all the condiments are for.
Yeah, I dig it, man. I dig that type of meat. I'm still waiting for the lab-created, like, real meat, like, where they take, like, cells from a real, you know, real slab of beef, like a steak, for instance. And I'm waiting for them to make like ribeye steaks or New York steaks or filet mignons from from, you know, like genetically created cells, like actual beef cells. I think that would be okay. Weiland says he didn't care for the Impossible Whopper. Yeah, it's slightly different, Weiland. I like it quite a bit. To me it was just slightly drier than real beef, but they're getting closer, man. It can only go up from there. Like they'll get better and better at making that stuff. Like I said, I'm really excited for like the lab created meat, so that way the moral dilemma in my mind is always, you know, I'm eating beef, which is killing cows. Like Eric mentioned it, like I don't
not only killing cows, but killing cows that have been mistreated.
Yeah, that's the whole thing in my mind.
Or not fed right.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a day that you know, we don't even have to kill any cows or very, very, very few cows to get, you know, food solutions. You know, like. Not genetically modified, but like,
or, you know, pigs,
clone cells, you know, clone cells. Like if you could clone me a ribeye steak, for instance, then that would be sufficient for me. That'd be awesome. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Like, as far as that stuff goes, Eric,
did NFTs? You say you wanted to talk about UFOs?
Why don't we get into it? UFOs. Okay. We've talked about UFOs, on the show before. I mean, obviously, there are such things as UFOs, but they're just that, unidentified flying objects. And the reason that we wanted to bring this topic up on the show was because the Senate was having hearings on UFOs. Like I can't remember if it was the Army or Navy or one of the branches of the armed services released videos of these UFOs, Eric. I don't know if you saw them, but... but they're just that. They're just UFOs, unidentified flying objects. You know, it's not. There's no evidence for alien life in these.
He says the UAP Navy.
Yeah, the UAP, the Navy. Yeah. Yeah. See, I couldn't remember, Weiland. Thanks for chiming in. So, I mean, I've looked at these videos and they are interesting, Eric. I don't know if you saw them. They're intriguing and interesting and fun to observe and speculate and stuff like that. But there's still no evidence for little green men in ships, right, Eric? That's where people have a definite disconnect with reality. You know, you want to believe that there's these aliens in these ships. Because I tell you what, Eric, if there were aliens in ships like that and they... you know, we're doing whatever they were doing, it's just a matter of time before we're all fucked, because they have way more advanced technology than we ever will, and they could dominate us in quick fashion. There's no doubt about it, right?
Well, that's if they wanted to.
If they wanted to, if they were actually interested, which if we see them, then they're interested because they're here, right? I don't know if they're interested in our resources or they're interested in, you know, maybe eating us for lunch or whatever. Either way, we're fucked. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If there's much more intelligent life in the universe than us and they find us, we are either going to be slaves or we're going to be eaten.
Or just like Ben 10, where they're just illegal immigrants.
Exactly. Freak 5 says, I kind of wonder what happens to cows and pigs and other animals we eat when we lab grow meat. Becomes cheap enough. Yeah, that's interesting too. Freak 5, they get set free maybe, or they just, you know, I mean, we stop killing them left and right. I mean, there still will be a market for actual slaughtered animals, which if you're a moral human being, how could you take that choice? You know, if you have the choice between, you know, clone cells, which are exactly the same, then killing an animal, I don't see how you could not.
Pets, that's what happens to cows and pigs.
Yeah, pets, you know. Maybe the Indians had it right, you know. The people from India, you know, they're sacred. Weiland says, if they're aliens and we're hostile, we wouldn't be here right now. That's exactly right, Weiland. Like, if aliens were out there, we wouldn't be here. Dungeon says, the day the Earth stood still, the original version is such a good movie. In that one, the aliens were like, yo, humanity is way too violent right now to join us, but we'll be watching to see if you can change your ways or just wipe you out. Yeah, I'd say it would be the latter, because we'll never get rid of our warring ways, Dungeon. I mean, Peace in the Middle East is a pipe dream. Peace in this country is a pipe dream. Peace anywhere is a pipe dream. We are not fit to get along with each other. We just don't. You know, we have slight differences like the pigment of our skin that causes people to be enraged for whatever fucking reason, and we just
our brains are too lizardy.
We are. We're too primitive. You know. I mean, I know that's slightly changing, but the change is too slow right now. Freak says they would probably get near extinction when people aren't making money off of them. That's true. You can't set them free. Predators will kill them all. Yeah, that, like aliens, man. So the chances are very, very unlikely that those quote-unquote UFOs were manned by aliens. Like I said, it's either the prelude to devastation here on Earth or they just don't care. Like we're not worth their time. It's sort of like cosmic horror. I don't know if you guys have played Bloodborne. I know Eric has, but like the gods in those, you know, universe just sit and like we're insignificant, you know. We're like ants. Like people don't think about ants when they're walking. You know, we just walk, and if we step on an ant, oh well, we go about our business. It's the same type of thing, you know, like aliens that if there were, you know, aliens out there, like intelligent life forms above us, then we're probably insignificant and they're just making a stop to wherever else they're going, you know. So Weiland says, Kiatu Barada Nihu. Yeah, Klaatu Barada. Yeah, exactly.
And then
exactly.
You get sent to like 780. Yeah,
exactly. Like a little army
of zombies based on your clone from a doppelganger monster you fought earlier.
Exactly. Like, aliens are a scary proposition, man. Like, you either. When you think about it on a grand scale, like either aliens are way beneath us, like some type of protozoan life form somewhere else, or it's the opposite extreme, a xenomorph or beyond. You know, it's like you either got to think that we're the ultimate life form or insignificant life form. And I happen to think if there is life forms out there, you know, we're probably the top of the chain as far as we know. And, you know, that's it. Dungeon says, then there's that Twilight episode called To Serve Man, when aliens came and gave us cures and tech, were super friendly and made world peace, and then offered trips to their home world where they ate us. Yeah, see, there's that dungeon, like a superior intelligent life form that outthinks us in that way. You know, maybe they won't have the manpower to take us down by an army, but maybe they're super smart and lure us into a trap. You know, that episode was awesome, Dungeon. I remember that episode, man. That's been years, man. I have to remember what season that is so I can rewatch that, man. That's a good one. To Serve Man. Yep. So I think those videos, in summation, I guess, Eric, I think those videos are interesting, you know, the UFOs, but they're just that. They're unidentified flying objects. Like, you know, maybe there was some weird army test that was going on that they didn't make the Navy privy to with some kind of weird drone or weird airship, like or weird plane that they were testing out, and the Navy happened to catch it, and the Army doesn't play well with the Navy, and, you know, stuff like that. The only branches that really play well together is the Marines and the Navy, because the Marines are part of the Navy. But, like, when you talk to Army guys, they hate the Air Force and vice versa, and the Navy hates the Army, and the Army hates the Navy. And it's just, it's really weird. They're, like, completely separate branches of, you know, the armed forces. Freak Five says, I think if alien life is exploring the universe, they are more curious than warlike. That, there's thoughts to that, too, Freak Five. That leads me to believe that they'd be more like, you know, the humans there are insignificant. There's nothing worth our time here on this planet. Let's move on. Maybe we'll find something different and better. You know, because I know one thing. If they studied our culture, you know, the human race as a whole, they would be horrified, I think.
Yeah, they actually might just decide to destroy us for the sake of the universe.
Yeah, maybe. That might be. They might have advanced technology where they could maybe see into the future and say, you know, humans are going to be the death of everything in the universe, and we'll just get rid of them right now. Early test of the F-117 sparked UFO talk from UFO watchers out west decades ago. That's exactly correct, Dungeon. Then you have, of course, Area 51, which all those idiots that wanted to storm Area 51 and find out, you know, that there's nothing going on there. I mean, it's so stupid, man. The Area 51 shit is just amazing to me. I almost wonder why, like, the Army and you know, the Armed Forces don't just release some of the Area 51 shit just for transparency. Like, there's no fucking aliens here. I mean, come on, man. It's just stupid. People want to believe.
Do you think maybe they thought that, but then people wouldn't be convinced? So they're like, might as well not even bother.
Yeah, they might. They that's their mindset too. They might be like, look, if we just declassify this stuff, they're just going to look at it and not believe any of it. Believe that we made shit up. So what's the point of even releasing it? There's thoughts of that too, Eric. Like, and I could see it. Like the conspiracy theorists. Oh, they just released, you know, this stuff, but what about the redacted stuff? And, you know, and it's just like some stuff has to be kept secret. Like, you know, like, I don't know, man. There's just certain things that you can't let out to the public. You know, that's one of the biggest failures of the Trump presidency, Eric, is the fact that they didn't release a lot of those files, like for Area 51 and like the JFK assassination and, you know, stuff like that, just for people to like, just chill out, you know. Just, I'm really surprised he didn't do that too, man. Like, he had access to all that stuff. I'm wondering if he looked himself and, you know, and just keeping it to himself. Freak Five says, if there was ever anything at Area 51, it was moved years ago. Yeah, I agree too, Freak Five. If there was stuff there, like, there, you know, there definitely wasn't aliens, but maybe they found like an unidentified object, you know, or something, and, you know, they weird enough to where they couldn't figure it out at the time or something, you know. Wyland says Trump doesn't believe in aliens. Well, neither does almost anybody else. I don't think it's that big of the population that actually believes in aliens, Wyland. I'm more of the thought that there are aliens out there, but alien life forms in the form of, like, you know, some form of germ or something, you know, something small and stuff like that. I don't know. Of the space variety. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, he did create the Space Force, Wyland, so maybe he does believe in aliens.
No, the Space Force is more for, like, satellite lasers and shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or you could be like Marjorie Taylor Greene that believes, like, the Jews caused, like, the forest fires in California with space lasers, you know, that type of stuff. Freak Five says, once it became a popular name with conspiracy theorists, they couldn't keep anything too important there. Yeah, that's true too, Freak Five, because there's always a thought that somebody could, you know, breach, like they wanted to, breach Area 51 and, you know, try to overtake whatever's going on there. Maybe they had, like, weapons systems that they were working on or whatever. But all right, Eric, do you want to talk about anything else, or you think we're done?
I think we're tapped out.
Yeah, I think I'm tapped out too, man. It's really hot in this room. All right, Eric, let's do your plugs.
Food quest time.
Food quest time. Everybody gets food quest a little bit early this week. Dungeon says they probably keep Area 51 around partly to just keep people distracted while super boring work happens there. I agree, Dungeon. That's.
I don't want to do too many topics because I'd rather break here for the rest.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Eric, let's do your plug.
You can find me on BostonBasherBrigade.com. I write reviews for them and game reviews. And then I also do audio reviews on the feed occasionally. Haven't gotten around to doing any lately, but hopefully that changes this weekend, because not much is holding me back tomorrow.
All right. That's exciting, Eric. We're always looking forward to your reviews on the feed. Anything else, Eric?
If you like those reviews, you could go to my Patreon and send me as little dollar, and the link to my Patreon is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
All right. Check out at EricRPG on Twitter. You can find that link to his Patreon. Give Eric some love, man. He does A lot of great work. Wyland says, I'm still perplexed why they don't merge Space Force with the Air Force.
The thing is, like, we don't need a Space Force. They could just make the Air Force do space stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying.
Or the Navy, or, you know.
They should have merged it with the Air Force like they were 20 years ago. Freak 5 says, hell, people could join the Air Force with the hope of getting stationed at Area 51 so they can see the alien shit or non-alien shit, Freak 5, yeah. Okay, I want to thank everybody in chat. Wyland, our good friend Wyland, our good friend Dungeon, good friend Freak 5 was in there. Let me see if anybody else was in there today. Another TV viewer was in there. Commander Root was in there. And Lateral Ling was in there. Thank you all so much for joining the chat. Hope you enjoyed the show. Kind of a different month this month. We didn't do our normal tournament. Frank Tulu, how dare you, Eric. We didn't do our normal tournament. We'll get back to that next month, but we're going to have a month filled with a variety of good topics to talk about. Hopefully Brake will feel better and join next week. You know, everybody on the archives on YouTube and Twitch and everywhere else, you listen, Podbean, you know, the usual places, iTunes, stuff like that. Thank you all so much. If you want to join the live chat, we're live every Friday, 7 Eastern time, twitch.tv/RPGrinders, or you can search RP Grinders on YouTube, and that's where you can join the show, 7 Eastern time. Anything else, Eric?
Stay safe. Get your vaxes if you haven't already.
Yeah.
And continue to wear a mask until you do, and maybe even afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, and you can follow me at Frank Branches on Twitter if I forgot to mention that. So, and follow the show at RP Grinders. Send Breakman questions. Send the show questions at RP Grinders, and we will give you a shout out on the show. Dear Breakman, questions are always welcome. You know, if you want to. If you want sex advice, I mean, those are Breakman's favorite stuff. If you want to give Breakman,
if you want drinking advice, ask him too.
If you want to give Breakman bear pictures, you know, hot bear pictures, he loves those too. Whatever you want, just send it to at RP Grinders. Freak 5 says, don't forget to check out Bernie's OnlyFans. She's been in studio filming while listening to the show. Yep. I have no idea what she's going to surprise us with this week. Well, she's here in studio right now, Freak 5, so she ain't filming nothing yet. Maybe later. All right, everybody. I think that's all we got. You have anything else, Eric?
No.
All right, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Thanks, everybody. Wyland.
The whole point is a joke.